This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We've been spending a lot of time lately on the NFL draft. This just after free agency, which is not over. Most of it is. Bulldog reminded me yesterday that it only started last week. Last Monday was the beginning of free agency.
Feels
like a month.
Right.
But, you know, some interesting players still out there. The Bills need a cornerback. They always need another wide receiver, right? Right? We'll see if anything happens. Jeremy Kahn joining us now, our friend in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan. Jeremy, did we last speak before the playoff game? I don't think we've spoken since.
No, we haven't, man. And I wanted to say congrats to you guys because I think I even said on your show, like, I was nervous with how little I was nervous. So, yeah. I mean, when you watch the game, it was one of those weird games where I feel like Ravens fans have done this the past 3 years where it's like, what's going on? How is this happening right now? But then obviously I was pulling for you guys against the Chiefs and we had to watch that mess again, but I'm just glad the Eagles won.
Yeah, I feel like every time we talk, Jeremy, we end up talking about the similarities in the trajectories of the teams here. You've got, you know, the same draft class with the marquee quarterbacks. Now we've got an MVP in Allen's pocket that was hotly contested with Lamar Jackson, whereas last year it went to Lamar Jackson and it was kind of hotly contested with Josh Allen, maybe not as hotly, but anyway. And they both have the same problem, which is they can't get all the way there despite having the most important position absolutely nailed down. What is the state of things? Like, is there at least your coach has at least got the Super Bowl? It's quite a few years ago now, but he's got that, whereas the Bills coach does not. What's the overall feel around the Ravens? Is there fatigue with the familiarity of the failure, or is there still optimism because, well, Lamar Jackson's excellent and they look like they should still be one of the best teams in the conference?
I mean, not to sit here and straddle the fence on this, but I think it's both. I think in the offseason, it's the fatigue and everything else. Like, oh, you got to get rid of this guy, that guy, sign this person. And because the Ravens aren't very active in free agency because, I mean, frankly, they're one of the best drafting teams in the league. And then they're usually making the tough decisions of, are we keeping this guy or letting him walk or do we trade him? But I also think as soon as the season starts, everybody's got the optimism that they're going to win it all until the next loss. So, I mean, I think that's how fickle the fans are here. But I've been one of the guys talking about Harbaugh. Like, that's been the one constant here that we haven't seen that Super Bowl win. And let's be honest, when the Ravens won that Super Bowl back in 2012, that team had no business getting to the Super Bowl. It was one of the craziest rides you'd ever see. And Joe Flacco is the only other quarterback besides Joe Montana to throw 11 touchdowns and zero picks in the postseason, and I still don't know what happened.
Yeah, the game in Denver.
The game in Denver, that crazy pass that probably should have been intercepted and wasn't, and it goes for a touchdown, and you're off to the races.
Jeremy, yep. On the playoff game this past year, you know, you had the turnovers there, right? Like the Bills, we sort of took stock of the Bills season, and one thing about their defense, like Baltimore never punted in that game. It wasn't like the Bills were able to really do anything. It was a couple of self-inflicted errors. And that probably does feel familiar for the Ravens, right? I mean, Jackson's turnovers, the Andrews drop isn't familiar, but that happened.
Yeah, I mean, All right, so if you're looking at it, there's been a couple oddities. Like Mark Andrews hadn't fumbled since 2019, which, look, you're susceptible at any moment in the game, but you haven't seen it from your star player and, you know, your number one pass catcher. And then on the flip side, you look at that two-point conversion, and I don't know that he could have had an easier pass go his way. And I'm sure he's thinking, where are my feet, thinking about getting them down, eyes off the ball, and then you see what happens. There was a lot of thought that he wouldn't even be on the roster this year, that they were going to trade him or maybe release him. And now with some of the restructures they've done on a few contracts, they think they might be able to keep him unless someone overwhelms him. But, it's that feeling of, like, we had Zay Flowers fumble through the end zone, and it's an effort play. Like, they dominated the Kansas City Chiefs 2 years ago, and they still lost the game because they came in with the worst game plan ever. And if it's not for one mistake, you know, they're probably moving on and playing in the Super Bowl. But this is what happens, and you have to start questioning things. Why in 2019 did the running backs only get 6 carries in the game when you're the number one rushing team and the game was never out of reach? It was always an 8-point game. So there are a lot of things I think fans look at, but I think that happens in every city where everyone starts to question their own guy.
Right, that's the game against Tennessee you're referencing, yeah. The last one?
Yeah, the running backs got 6 touches in that game, and everybody's going, I mean, to start the second half, you had the weird kind of where you're down 8 points, and they came out and they ran the same exact 3 plays that they ran in their first series of the game, which was just ridiculous.
Well, if you haven't said so already, like, because we're in the same business, and as Bulldog said, the storylines are kind of the same, the trajectories of the two teams. How do we talk about this, right? I mean, then Kansas City goes and gets blown out anyway this year, unlike last year. You know, there are changes to the roster. The Bills sign Joshua Palmer. The Ravens get DeAndre Hopkins. There are little moves, if you will. But I was thinking about this morning. I think about this a lot, like how to keep it fresh for the audience, right? Like what is the state of mind of the fans? And I think for a lot of us, it's just, let's get to January. You know, I mean, the season will be fun, you want to think. And these moves have some meaning. The Bills signed Joey Bosa, Jeremy. I'm like, don't even play him in the regular season. Why? Unless you get behind in the division or something. So, I don't know. It's challenging to think about the team and talk about them when it's like this, when really all that's left to do is win a playoff game against Kansas City.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and I'm not sure if it happens with you guys as well, like, I get tired of realizing how good of a team that they have and talking them up just to inevitably get to that point where you're going to go, I don't know what happened in the last game. And, and I feel like we've been there. Like, I really felt like the Ravens, I mean, they won the triple crown on defense and had, you know, the MVP on offense, and they still couldn't get it done because of some goofy things that happened. And it's got to be the same way in Buffalo, where it's like, I'm tired of reiterating these same old stories and asking, why does this keep happening? There has to be some way to get away from it and make something happen in the postseason, whether it is getting the number one overall seed, which the Ravens have had and still didn't get there. But, you know, you have this window open for a period of time, and it's like, how long can you keep it open before you have to start moving on from players that were really helpful to you getting there to begin with?
Right. The Bills kind of went through that. I don't even think kind of. They really went through that last year with the purge on the roster and the Diggs trade, you know, Hyde and Poyer and Mitch Morse and Tre'Davious White. I mean, these are cornerstone players, many of whom were here for the entire ride from the time McDermott walked in the door. And yet they still were able to pivot and find their way to it. So what happens then is, and this is not good for our business certainly, is just, well, they'll just be good no matter what. Like, I never want to be in a place where I'm thinking, I don't really care who they add or who they draft or what they do, because they've got this quarterback and they'll just find their way. But there's probably some truth in that, and I would think Baltimore's kind of the same way. You've got this cheat code that is going to fix a lot of the problems.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, I don't know how much you guys actually talk baseball up there, if you're Blue Jays fans or they go off to the other New York teams, but when I look at the Orioles here in Baltimore and they go through this rebuild and you're like, we're 2 years into this and fans expect a World Series already after coming out of a rebuild, it's like, I don't know if your guys' your expectations are realistic. And then when you look on the football side, you're saying, and you guys have had one of the best teams, if not the best team in football year after year. What is it going to take to just get to that point? And as you're pointing out, like, we have, both teams have MVP quarterbacks, and we've seen them win games. Hell, I've seen some that obviously go awry and don't go your way. I think Lamar's learned from some of those mistakes, but it's kind of odd how this history kind of repeats itself. Maybe we just got to break up Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I don't know.
Something's got to happen here, Jeremy. We should be collaborating. Jeremy Kahn from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on the West Shore Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. The Bengals news is pretty big, signing Chase and Higgins just the other day. You know, I think from a Bengals fan standpoint, that had to be really, really exciting because you're kind of expecting with the Bengals, a team like that, your best guys to get away, and that was much of the speculation about Higgins, at least, then it doesn't happen. I think that's really important in the construct of the AFC here, Jeremy. I mean, you might agree, but there was a possibility that Cincinnati was coming apart. And now, I mean, they were, think of the two Ravens games for starters last year, how close those games were and how close Cincinnati was to getting in anyway. I mean, are they for you right up with Baltimore, Buffalo, KC, or not quite?
I can't because of their front office. Like, again, the idea of keeping T Higgins and Jamar Chase makes a ton of sense. But to allow all these guys to come up at the same time and now trying to make decisions of what you're going to do, and they're basically taking out the credit card and trying to keep things short now. So maybe for the next 2 years, but at some point all that's going to bite them in the rear end. They haven't done anything on the defensive side, and it was arguably the worst defense in football last year. So the only thing I could say is definitely take Joe Burrow as your quarterback in your fantasy drafts because hell, the final scores will be 51-48 every week. It's going to be a ridiculous offense. I personally thought they should have gotten something for T. Higgins. Anybody you put alongside Jamar Chase, if they're capable of running a route and they have some sort of talent, they're going to have one-on-one matchups and be able to win a good portion of the time because of how much attention he gets. But, I mean, you're right from the standpoint of, I think they wasted that small window they had when they had all those guys on their rookie deals, and they should have worked some contracts out sooner. But because they waited, now this is what we get. I don't know what their defense is going to look like next year. Their best run stopper's gone, and they're trying to sign their best pass rusher, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said yesterday I think they should have traded Higgins the year before last, the first time they franchised him. Like, let's you know, sell high and get some assets and, yeah, find somebody else to run alongside Chase, then you're probably still going to be extremely potent on offense. You know, easy for me to say. But back to the Ravens. Like, what else needs to happen here? You know, like, we're here wondering who the Bills' number two corner is going to be, you know, opposite Christian Benford, wondering about paying James Cook. Like, what are there any, like, hot-button issues right now, personnel-wise, contract-wise, extension-wise with the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first thing would be, what are you doing with Justin Tucker? I think they got to let him know this month if he's going to be a post-June 1st cut. I would assume they are. You know, from my people I'm close to, I know a couple people that are involved in the situation. I totally believe all the girls, no matter whatever else comes out, that something did go on there. So, like, that's the first thing they're figuring out, I think, here in recent days. Now, getting Ronnie Stanley signed, that kind of took a lot off their plate with making sure you have your left tackle, and they got him at a mint, 3 years and $20 million each year. So he definitely gave him a hometown discount, so that's going to help. And you mentioned the signing of DeAndre Hopkins. They're only asking him to be their third receiver. So it's like, I think when you look at the team, they have to start thinking about what we talked about with when you're drafting well. Their center, Tyler Lindenbaum, is expected to make $20 million next year in its fifth-year option. Are they picking it up? The same thing with Adafi Owe, his contract's coming up. I don't know that you can pay both of those guys right now the way the salary cap is. So, again, they have some tough decisions to make. But I think with the way that they've drafted and the fact that they have 11 picks coming up in this NFL draft, I mean, they're going to do some damage because they always draft well.
With Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore, what do you think of Hopkins? That addition and, like, what's left there?
Yeah, I thought he was going to retire, to be honest. He's not, like, done. The one thing I like about him, and I wondered if, like, Anquan Boldin kind of did it, when you get to the back end of your career, if you start moving in the slot and get that matchup, and he knows how to use his body and run routes, and he does. He catches the ball. Big question is, can he get open? I think being a third receiver here, as long as he's coming in and realizing, hey, I may only get 30 targets this season, or maybe he gets more depending on how things go. But I actually like the idea of him coming in and giving some depth there. I know the one thing that worries me is that I feel like the Ravens have been relatively healthy the past 2 years, and, you know, knock on wood, we've all seen it. We've all had those years where it's like, man, can we catch a break at this position? So right now they feel pretty good about the base that they have. With the cornerbacks, they'll probably draft another. But ultimately, I think they feel, you know, pretty good at what they have right now.
Kyle Hamilton is one of my favorite players in the league, and we're in draft season. Nick Emmanuri out of South Carolina is a big safety that, to me, as soon as I saw his vitals, I hadn't even like looked at a second of him playing. I saw a safety, 6'3", 220, and went like, ah, there's my Kyle Hamilton chess piece. How much can you understate or overstate just how important he has been to that defense?
Yeah, and talking about Nick, they were saying that at first they were wondering if he was going to slide in the draft. He said, could you imagine if the Ravens got both of those guys? It would feel like an absolute cheat code back there on the back end. But with Kyle Hamilton, the guy literally does everything. Like, if you look at his PFF grades, no matter where he's playing, and he can play every position on defense except for D-tackle, you know, but moving around, he rushes the quarterback. He gets a high grade there in pass coverage, high grade there, run defense, high grade there. He's just everywhere and does everything. And it's guys like this where I don't know they get talked about enough. I'm waiting for him to be mentioned in Defensive Player of the Year, but more times than not, it's the guys getting sacks or picks, you know, that and that starts to show out. And I don't know that too many teams are going to target him when he's on the field. But we also saw him move up and play up in the zone a little bit, more in the box this year. And I think they wanted to move him back. So once they had some of the injuries, they moved him back a little bit. You could really see him shine and when he's in his normal position back there at safety.
Andrews is staying, right? There was some speculation. The way the GM was talking before the combine, people were wondering, but he's back?
Yeah, well, I guess so. The way it looks right now, I mean, they paid him his roster bonus over the weekend. It was $4 or $5 million. It's kind of weird. Like, when I see Deebo Samuel get traded for a fifth-round pick, I'm going, what's Mark Andrews at $16 million or whatever, and I'm sure somebody would extend him. What's that worth for 1 year left of him?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I couldn't imagine it's a lot, but I think that's what they were trying to do, and they were expecting more, and I don't know that they got the offers they wanted, but to be honest, if he comes back, I mean, I don't think anybody's complaining about having Likely and Andrews. I did hear some reports of people saying, what if they decided to keep Andrews and then trade Likely? What could you get for him? And I'm going, don't even talk about that nonsense. Like, you got a young tight end that could end up being one of the best in the league. I think you got to roll with it. But the Ravens kind of had what I would say is a little hiccup with all their tight ends coming up in the same season. So they didn't have any under contract except for Mark Andrews. Well, after this year, you have to figure it all out.
Are you enjoying the Steelers quarterback mess?
I see. There's a big part of me that wants Aaron Rodgers to go there just to talk about it all year long. God, is that guy a cancer, man? And like, and the other part of me wanted him to go the Favre route and join the Vikings, but seeing the Steelers get DK Metcalf and going, man, what a great pickup that is, and then they pay him, and then go, who the hell's throwing him the football? Like, Mason Rudolph's not the answer, you know? So I was a little disappointed to see that that we had, God, now I just blanked on the pass rusher from Cleveland, that he went back to Cleveland.
Miles Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miles Garrett. Like, I was a little disappointed to see him go back, but when they offer you that much money, I don't know that you turn it down, but I would have liked to seen him get on a team that has a chance to make the postseason and see what he looks like there.
Oh, dude, we were I was anyway. I don't want to speak for Mike entirely on this, but I was lost in the idea of the Bills trading whatever it was going to take to get a guy like that on their defense. And yeah,
amazing, man.
Driving around that Sunday morning when I heard on like whatever the national show that was on our station, the CBS radio show, like after all that, this, I mean, it's not unprecedented that the money makes all the problems go away. We've seen it probably too many times to count in sports, but wow, I thought he was really dug in.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me kind of Blake Snell during the pandemic, where he's like, I'm not coming to play with that Rona, and then they gave him $15 million for the shortened season. He's like, all right, I'm back.
Yeah.
I mean, when the mic comes calling, I think those guys change their mind real quick.
Everyone has his price. Rodgers, when the Jets got Rodgers, Jeremy, I respected that. They make that trade and like, all right, I mean, let's see what it is. And he tears his Achilles on the fourth play of the first year against the Bills. There goes that. And then last year, it was just so satisfying. I mean, the Jets season is off the rails. They come here, Bulldog, maybe week 17.
Yep.
And it's 40-0 in the third quarter. And he's throwing picks, you know, and just they're always writing on his face whenever anything happens and just blaming guys. It was just so satisfying to watch. Then they finally take him out at 40-0 and put Tyrod Taylor in. Touchdown, touchdown. It just couldn't. It doesn't get any better. If you really dislike a player, that is peak.
We work post game after Bills games, but I had that day off, that Sunday off, and let me tell you, the beers tasted extra delicious watching him look like a jackass all afternoon. Yeah. I mean, it was really, really great.
It feels like he tries so hard to be that way. Like, I used to hear the reports that he didn't talk to his family back when he was coming out of Cal, and I'm going, oh, that's sad. And then his brother gets into the league for the cup of coffee that he had, and then you're like, oh, he doesn't talk to anybody in his family? And then you start to go, yeah, he's kind of a jerk. Like, now I get why nobody wants to be around him. And especially when things go wrong, even if it was somebody else's fault, you can't sit there and point the finger at everyone else every damn time. And it just gets... It gets to be so much. So, yes, I hope he ends up being a Pittsburgh Steeler.
The best was with the Jets when he would say, we need guys who are more focused on football. Like, he literally
said. Right. Fewer distractions.
I don't know if he was in Egypt when he said it, but he did say it.
Going on another dark retreat.
Dark retreat. Yeah. Jeremy, thanks as always for your time. We'll talk again down the road.
Anytime, guys.
All right. Jeremy Kahn, 105.7, the fan in Baltimore. At J-Con Sports, by the way.
Is there any new news on Rodgers? Just he's going to take his time. That's it. We're just in a holding pattern. I think that's the only thing that's happening there. So nothing.
I feel like that is the play. That's the Rodgers way, isn't it? Like, just like, you're going to be talking about me every day, and I'm going to make you wait. I don't know, but I haven't heard anything.
I guess I do enjoy talking about it. Yeah, I could choose not to. I seemingly can't wait to talk about it. So I guess he wins, right? He's got me. I like talking about him. I can't stand him, but I love talking about him.
Well, whether you take it from the standpoint of the Steelers fan or like the Steelers rivals fan, like the Ravens or even the Bills, what do you want for them to do? And when the Jets got Rodgers, from a Bill standpoint, I didn't love it because I thought the guy was still good enough that he was going to be a problem, and he wasn't. So if you felt that way, you were more that way from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is going to be great. Bring it on. And so maybe at this point, Jeremy or whoever, Cleveland, Cincinnati, would want Rodgers in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're supposed to want instead.
I felt compelled to respect it at first in New York just because they'd been so bad and the roster was so good that even him – You know, I thought he certainly was not the player he had been just even 2 years earlier. That last year in Green Bay was pretty average. But pretty average could have been good enough for the Jets. But he got hurt, and then by the time he's coming back last year, I thought, forget it, it's over. This is not going to happen. And I don't see any way that it gets better from here for him. You know, different supporting cast, different whatever. Like, it just, I think he's cooked.
Lines are open for your calls. Stephon Diggs visiting the Patriots, NFL draft, the tournament. We're bouncing around here. Paul Hamilton joins us at 6 with the Sabres playing in Utah tonight at 9. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Hope to hear from you next. This is WGR.